Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
Hey, Lulu here. Whether we are romping through science, music, politics, technology, or feelings, we seek to leave you seeing the world anew. Radiolab adventures right on the edge of what we think we know, wherever you get podcasts.
Well, it has been almost 6 weeks since Sandy hit, and I feel like I say this about every few days. Some version of this idea that for most of the region, things are pretty much back to normal, but there are pockets where they're still trying to dry out, reopen, and get their lives back. And today we're going to visit another one of those. It's Red Hook, to check in on the neighborhood post-Sandy. Joining us are three community residents. Wally Bazemore is a longtime community activist and resident of the Red Hook houses. Monica Byrne is the chef and co-owner of the restaurant Homemade and one of the founders of Restore Red Hook. And David Sharps, the director of the Waterfront Museum and captain of the Lehigh Valley Barge. Welcome to you all.
Thank you. Thanks for having us.
And
you,
Red
Brian.
Hook residents and business owners, we want to hear your updates. How are you faring post-Sandy? What does the rest of the world need to know about your community? 212-433-WNYC. Are you getting back to normal? Is there a new normal? 212-433-9692. And Wally, I know you live in Red Hook Houses, which is the largest NYCHA development in Brooklyn with almost 3,000 apartments. You are out of heat and hot water for what, 2 weeks?
No, for really 3 weeks. You know, they had to put in temporary generators and replace some boilers that got hit with the salt water. And we're currently, you know, waiting on the – we just got the heat last week. Just got the hot water last week.
Wow.
So we're smelling a little better, you know, and feeling a little better. But, you know, it's a process.
There was a lot of criticism about the way the NYCHA buildings were handled during and after the storm. How was the emergency response from your point of view?
Well, it was lacking. And that's why we, the residents, organized the Red Hook Committee for Social Justice. You know, with all of Red Hook, we have people from the residential area as well as, you know, public housing. And because of the response was so slow, we were literally in the dark, but we were kept in the dark, you know, communicationally. I mean, nobody came out to check on us. We have a lot of seniors. We have a lot of children, you know, with medical problems. And, you know, it was just like benign and neglect. And we was outraged, you know. This was our Katrina. You know, we wasn't going to be treated like our cousins down there in New Orleans. You know, we were all American citizens. So, you know, we waited on leadership. We seen a few politicians. But the leaders were leading from behind. Mm-hmm. So we took the initiative to organize.
David, you're the director of the Waterfront Museum, which is housed in the Lehigh Valley Barge that lives on the water there at Pier 44. It's right next to Fairway across the from the iconic bar, Sonny's. You're just locating this for everybody else. You're across the way from the beloved Steve's Key Lime Pie. How is your barge, and how are your neighbors?
We fared, fortunately, very well. We came within, you know, probably less than a foot of coming up over our fendering. But we, after surging up really high, we were able to get fenders in and settle back down. So our feeling of success and victory lasted till the next morning when I walked ashore and all of a sudden realized and saw firsthand all the devastation that had happened in the neighborhood. So that was kind of short-lived, but the barge came through. We did lose a couple of panels in our skylights and are replacing the skylights. There's been a month later, we still seem to be cleaning up, and there's a lot of debris in the walkway, in the garden, and, you know, the edge has to kind of be rebuilt. So we're kind of limping forward, trying to get to the point where we can, you know, be open again.
And as far as those neighbors of yours that I mentioned, I see Sonny's is closed, Steve's is getting back on its feet, And Fairway's going to be closed till at least February?
I've heard different things with Fairway. I guess they would call them rumors that they wanted to get up and going, you know, before Christmas. But that may be a want. I mean, there's just so much to do. I've heard, you know, various accounts from Christmas time to, you know, after the first of the year.
And Monica, you're the chef and co-owner of Homemade, the restaurant on that stretch of Van Brunt, with several bars, shops, and restaurants. You were just telling me off the air before we went on that your customers are calling you up, coming to the restaurant, and they go, oh, what? I figured you'd be open by now.
Yeah, it's true. When you get a few blocks out of Red Hook, people really are disconnected with what the reality is in Red Hook, and you just wouldn't know. You have no idea. It's truly devastating. It's the destruction is really unexpected, and pretty much everybody on Van Brunt has had to redo their electrical systems completely, tear out all of their drywall, replace all of our equipment, and it's really kind of shocking. And one of the things that we realized, we had a fire in our restaurant earlier in the year, so this is our second time rebuilding. We realized that we could rebuild because we had such incredible community support when we had the fire. But when I looked at my friends and the other restaurateurs and their faces, I realized not everybody knew that they could do it, that they could come back from this. It was that bad. And amazingly, within 24 hours, people started getting together. We founded Restore Red Hook. We started organizing and seeing what we could do to build back the community together. Exactly as Wally was saying, the officials weren't there to support us, but we organized ourselves. We got ourselves what we needed, and that's what we're working on right now.
And I see that as one of the founders of Restore Red Hook, which is raising and distributing funds for community businesses to get back on their feet, Mayor Bloomberg was in Red Hook this week, and you got to meet with him at the bar Fort Defiance. What did he have to say? Is the city doing what they need to do, in your opinion?
That's a complicated answer. There are people who've been on the ground from day one who have been amazing. Carlos Menchaca from Speaker Quinn's office has practically moved to Red Hook and is working with us hand in hand to do whatever we need. Other people have put in appearances and had photo ops. So we are getting some support from some quarters and not all from all quarters. Nydia Velasquez's team have been good. Sarah Gonzalez's team have been good. The mayor's office, we're working on it. Really, we need to create some sort of a retention fund. We need to get some money into the hands of both the residents and the businesses that need it to rebuild. There are hundreds of thousands of dollars being donated to organizations and various charities, but that money is not necessarily going into the hands of the people who need it to rebuild. And we need to create something to shift that. Red Hook is a unique community. It's very tight-knit. The nonprofits, the businesses, and the residents are very tightly wound together. And when you lose one leg of that tripod, the other two are going to fall. We need the business sector. And if people don't have money to get back on their feet again and survive this, there are going to be shuttered stores. There's going to be unemployment. It's going to be bad.
We're getting an update on Red Hook post-Sandy from Monica Byrne, chef and co-owner of the restaurant Homemade and one of the founders of Restore Red Hook, David Sharps, director of the Waterfront Museum and captain of the Lehigh Valley Barge there, and Wally Bazemore, a longtime community activist and resident of the Red Hook Houses. Red Hook residents listening right now or business owners listening right now, we want to hear your updates. How are you getting back to normal, or what is the new normal? 212-433-WNYC. 212-433-9692. And let's take one of those callers right now. Carlina in Red Hook, you're on the air. Hello, Carlina.
Hi, hello. Can you hear me?
Sure can.
Hi, I'm the director of another nonprofit afloat in Red Hook, Portside, New York, on a tanker. And so what I wanted to speak to, echoing what Monica said, is how tight-knit Red Hook is. But I think I would say even more so. So the silver lining from the dark story of Sandy is an even more intense community unity and collaboration, where I think there have been people, so NYCHA and the issues of NYCHA are more incorporated in a general dialogue, and as Lou Sones put it, there is no front and there is no back, meaning the back is the western part and the front is where the public housing is. And I think that has enabled us to really do some incredible work, that coupled with the outside help that we've got. So I think many of us are sustained by that and hoping that that continues and that that propels Red Hook forward in a new way.
Wally from the Red Hook Houses, you want to get in maybe on that front and back idea?
I wholeheartedly agree. I mean, Sandy didn't care about how much you made or where you lived. You know, she was, she just wiped us all out. And it by wiping us all out, brought us all together, made us realize what our priorities is. And that's the survival of Red Hook. Red Hook is a great place. You know, it has a lot of great people. You know, I used to call it Mayberry because we knew everybody. And it's a very strong community. It's getting stronger. You know, we're going through our renaissance period. And not even Sandy's going to keep us down.
Carlina,
it woke us up, but it won't keep us down.
Thank you for calling in, Carlina. Monica, maybe you're the Aunt B of Red Hook. I don't know.
But, that might be Carlina, actually.
Right. Also calling in now is Tony Schloss, Red Hook Initiative Media Programs Coordinator. The Red Hook Initiative is one of the organizations coordinating volunteers to do everything from distribute hot meals, clean up the streets, and work with government agencies to coordinate parts of the recovery effort. I know they've shifted gears from emergency relief to focusing on economic recovery and social services and strategic planning for the future of the neighborhood. So, Tony, thank you for calling. And as you think about rebuilding, what will you focus on at Red Hook Initiative?
Well, thanks for having me. I would echo what everybody says. I know everybody on the phone call, and Red Hook is very tight. As a media programs coordinator at the Red Hook Initiative, something that one of the other bright lights, as Portside New York mentioned, is that we were able to really greatly expand our Wi-Fi network, our community Wi-Fi network, with support from FEMA and a local internet provider, Brooklyn Fiber. And we had, previous to the storm, we'd been working on creating a Wi-Fi network for Red Hook with the Open Technology Institute, mm-hmm. Institute of the New America Foundation. And after Sandy hit and during the recovery period, this need for communication in Red Hook, like many other things, were highlighted greatly, like harshly exposed. And so with that, FEMA found our project, provided us a satellite uplink, which allowed us to go around. We couldn't do it with our Verizon user agreement because we weren't allowed to share our internet service. So by the satellite uplink, we were allowed to share the service. We put an antenna on our roof, on a nearby auto body shop, on a apartment building that overlooks Coffee Park, a central park in Red Hook. And now we have expanded our coverage to the blocks surrounding the Red Hook Initiative and all the way to Coffee Park. And with city officials and the local business, where it seems like we're on the path to expand it even further and get this necessary communication and digital services to NYCHA residents and businesses on Van Brunt Street and hopefully the entire neighborhood.
So, Tony, this sounds, number one, like a silver lining that you were able to get the neighborhood this very good permanent infrastructure improvement out of the disaster. And also it sounds like the kind of thing that Governor Cuomo has been talking about, quite honestly, which is using some of the money that he hopes to get from Washington for infrastructure upgrades, not just for relief. Would you say?
Yeah, I certainly hope so. The innovation fellow that we spoke to at FEMA was his whole line was, you know, communities helping communities. And I think that's happening. And what's interesting is I think that, you know, we're not trying to ask the city to get into – it's a new model to some degree because we're not asking the city to get into this wireless internet provider service, but rather we want their support to allow us to sort of install on, you know, Parks Department, DOE, maybe NYCHA – or absolutely NYCHA Housing. But it's really a community-led effort. We are going to – the city has already okayed us to employ – 5 young adults as digital stewards, and those digital stewards will install, maintain, and promote the network. And previous our work, we already made local applications that respond to the needs of Red Hook residents. So we made a local version of the Bus Time app because, as you know, transportation in Red Hook is severely challenged.
Mm-hmm.
So people can find out when the bus
is
coming
to the times.
Specific. But then we did a police reporting app. And so, yes, I feel like we're getting support from all around. And in many ways, that is the silver lining of the hurricane, which was absolutely terrible.
Tony Schloss from the Red Hook Initiative, thank you for checking in with us. On our comments page, listener named Lala, who's not from Red Hook, writes, without Fairway Market in the picture, I have no reason to visit this neighborhood anymore. I hate what IKEA has done to the waterfront and miss Fairway. Actually, when I visited the Fairway, I'd stop by other places along the strip. There's a rum maker in that area that makes awesome chocolate rum bottles. I can only imagine how much those guys are hurting now that visitors aren't stopping by. And let me throw that to you, David Sharps from the Waterfront Museum. People who are not from Red Hook might just think, oh, okay, the Fairway got damaged and is closed for a while, so they lost their gourmet store. Well, that's one thing if you're on the Upper West Side and there's a grocery store every few blocks of some kind or another. It's a different thing in Red Hook, isn't it?
Absolutely. I've noticed since the storm, the lack of people on the streets without Fairway, and also, you know, where we are, without people working in the warehouses on the bottom floors, there's definitely a lack of people and, you know, people in the streets. And often when they are, when they are coming, they're coming to kind of take a look at what's going on. I think it should very much be as we move forward, every place that opens or every place that makes a step forward, that's very important to get the word out, because it brings back hope and it brings back encouragement after the first couple of days looking out the window and seeing the Statue of Liberty dark. The day that it was lit up, all of a sudden it really does, you know, small steps are huge at this time.
And are you feeling the impact of the loss of people like Lala, who wrote that comment, people who come to the neighborhood for Fairway but then maybe go to the museum?
Absolutely, yes. We haven't opened our doors yet until a cleanup with the waterfront, but the times that I've been open, I've kind of looked out, and you know, winter is a little bit less anyway, but there's definitely a huge drop in the number of people that are coming here.
Kirby calling from Red Hook. You're on the air. Hi, Kirby.
Hi, guys. I don't know. I was just texting with Monica's phone. I'm not sure. I guess it's not in Monica's hands. I just found out. I just wanted to call.
It's the one little thing we asked from our guests that they
took. Exactly what's happening with the rebuilding right now.
You get the idea. Yes, go ahead.
So there's 130 sites that are currently still in dire need of help, and that's everything from demolition to mold treatment to the rebuilding, getting the drywall back up, getting preventative measures in place. A lot of these buildings were super really old, and the breaker boxes were in the basement, and that's why we're having so many issues with rebuilding, because people not only have to rewire their houses now, they have to rewire it to prepare for the next storm and move boxes up to different floors. So there's 130 sites, and it's kind of funny walking around the neighborhood now, because I had someone that walked around. I had a volunteer that emailed me. It was like, oh, well, I showed up and I walked around and it looks like everything's okay, so I guess I'm going to go to Far Rockaway. And that's not the case whatsoever. We are in just as much need as we were 3 weeks ago.
130 sites. You said 130 sites just in Red Hook.
130 sites, and we're dispatching volunteers. We're working closely with Rapid Repairs right now in the mayor's office, so keeping an eye if Rapid Repairs schedules an appointment. We make sure for these elderly people that we go and we make sure and say, okay, did Rapid Repairs show up? And if not, we have our contact in the mayor's office that we call, because it's the mayor's office that's essentially hiring all the contractors for Rapid Repair. So they will check up and make sure that Rapid Repairs is following through with everything that they're getting paid to do, essentially.
Kirby, thank you for checking in with that. And Monica, when the segment's over, you can turn your phone back on and Kirby can text you. We're almost out of time. But David, part of what you do with the museum is to get people thinking about our relationship with the water that surrounds us. You educate people about our city's history as a port in general. Did this storm and the damage it did to places on the shore change the way you think about our waterfront? Obviously, it's gone through big, big changes in the last, say, 10 to 15 years. Do you think the storm could or should change the way we experience the waterfront now?
Oh, absolutely. I think that, we've all known about climate change and all the aspects that are associated with it, and this has just moved it up to the top of the list of priorities. We really have to think about how we rebuild our edge. We have to really mitigate runoff We have to have both plans, both long range and short range, to deal with many different aspects. You start looking at the delivery system, and you know, New York is on a kind of New York City's on a on demand schedule for oil and many of our other supplies. And when you see things go out for a week or so, all of a sudden we began to be a bit stranded. So we have to think about how to rebuild and really rethink things and put an emphasis on a green harbor that uses solar and wind and every alternative, you know, way that we can help ourselves out. And I think also the working waterfront, we have to really, you know, be sure that we don't just take working waterfront away and make Red Hook the next big box location. Yeah. You know, I think that's very, that's where all the city's vessels, many of them come into the Erie Basin, and that's such a precious asset that we have, that we have to really think about how we use our waterfronts and how we rebuild that edge.
Wally, did the storm make you rethink where you want to live? Did it make you question whether people should be living so close to the water, given climate change and sea level rise?
Well, it woke a lot of us up in reference to climate change, and it also gave us some thought about what they do in France and England with the seawall. I know it would be very expensive, but, you know, for people that love the water, you know, just like the people down in Florida, I mean, they get wiped out almost every year, but they come back. You can't help where you live. I mean, if you love where you live, you're going to live there.
And Monica, for you at the restaurant, when you think of rebuilding, and if you love where you live and where you work, what do you think should be the guiding principles, knowing something like this could happen again?
That's a really interesting question. The first answer is what Wally just said. We love where we live, so we're absolutely rebuilding. And that is the one important thing everyone should know. Red Hook is rebuilding. Red Hook is open. There are bars and restaurants open, even if mine is not. There are shops that are open that desperately could use your help shopping during the holiday season. And we do need to think about the future in a green way. We need to think about some smart ideas to deal with the water, because I know that this is not going to be the last time.
Monica Byrne, chef, co-owner of the restaurant Homemade and one of the founders of Restore Red Hook. David Sharps, director of the Waterfront Museum and captain of the Lehigh Valley Barge. And Wally Bazemore, longtime community activist and resident of the Red Hook Houses. And to all of you who called or texted or posted to our comments page, thanks to you all as we got this update on Red Hook post-Sandy. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Brian.
Brian Lehrer on WNYC. Coming up next, how China and the U.S. have more similar economic problems than you might think, like inequality and wage stagnation. Can we work together to solve them? Stay with us.